This is War and Peace, an actual play RPG podcast. Episode 1, Introductions.
Hi, I'm Kirby. I'm the GM. I go by they, them pronouns. Welcome to War and Peace.
I'm Luke. He, him pronouns. And my character is Rune.
Hello, this is Lore. I go by she, her pronouns, and I will be playing Jax today.
Super duper cool. All right, so when we left off, you both had just completed your contracts, and you had executed some unsavory fellows. Lore, you were... That was a strange one. You were just covered in blood from a large variety of creatures, kind of cleaving everyone into pieces, which was very exciting. Taking out the Red Wires gang and collecting all of their armbands. And Rune, you had killed Simon Vane in his house after he begged you not to. So... what are you guys going to do? You're going to head back to the Torok immediately? Like, you guys are separate, obviously separated at this point. You can each kind of do your own thing. If you want to head back immediately to the Torok building and turn in your bounty, you can do that. You can not do that. You can choose. So just let me know. Let's see what's happening.
do they have an employee shower?
No, I mean, yeah, sure, why not? Yeah.
Because this girl is sticky.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so the Torok is a pretty big building. It's on level 5. It's about 30 miles from the exterior ring of the level. And it's like a large, flat, black glass building. You can't see in it, but everything's just really, it's very beautiful, but it's flat. There's like no seams in the building or whatever, and only people who have access to it can enter. So you don't really know where the door is unless you know where the door is, you know, and you just kind of walk up, swipe your card. But yeah, I would say that they have some form of bathrooms and lockers, although it's not really a place where people would live or like spend too much time. But there's definitely tons of people that go there because there's probably at least in the low thousands numbers of bounty hunters that work for the Torok. So, sure. Yeah, let's say there's a large locker room on the second floor of the building.
Hey, if I could just get into the maintenance closet with a big sink, she'll be right. She'll be okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Jax would like to make her way back to her bike and maybe see if there's any... big like jacket or something she can kind of cover herself, make it like a little less obvious that she's covered in blood, and
sure.
Biking back to the headquarters.
Yeah. Now, yeah. So you make it back to your bike without really any incident. It's kind of like at this point, I think it's probably around 4 or maybe 5 in the morning, because you had gotten there I think at midnight, and it was about a 2-hour walk to and back, and then you were there for not too long, but then cleaning up and searching the bodies and stuff took a little bit of time. So it's probably 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I think that there's some traffic coming in as the early morning shift is kind of like rolling into the warehouse district, but I don't think that you have to worry too much about trying to hide so much. You kind of know your way back as you made your way there. So you can make your way back to your bike without any incident. And I would probably guess that you have a biking jacket, some kind of big protective jacket that you can wear when you're riding your scav bike, so yeah. It's probably gonna be noon by the time you make it back to the Torok, because it is a little bit of a distance. Maybe even 2 o'clock. I would say it's probably about 2 o'clock at this point in the afternoon. Because it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I think, to the central lift. And then you have to take the lift up to level 5 from level 2, which is probably an hour ride. And then another hour and a half, 2 hours to get to the actual building.
So yeah, you get there around 2 o'clock. I think by the time you get there, the blood has kind of dried pretty significantly.
Yeah,
I wouldn't... it's not going to be just watery and slimy and stuff. It's going to be kind of sticky but dry.
I've seen dried blood before.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have to worry once you get to the building of anyone being suspect, because everyone in there is probably in a similar state, you know? So, yeah,
that
you're
sounds
good.
Like there got to be some kind of washroom, guys.
Yeah.
Locker room.
Yeah.
Changing room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Lore...
I want to get my bounty.
Yeah, okay. So you're going to turn your bounty in. You turn in the little card that is given you when you take a bounty. They give you, like, a little access... Not an access card, but kind of like an ID card for that bounty. And they can, like, log it when it's finished. And... they ask for any evidence, and you can pass over whatever evidence you decide to give them, the armbands or whatever. And what are you doing with the black titanium card?
I am keeping that in my pocket.
Okay. All right. Is there any reason why? I'm just curious. What do you think the reason for Jack's keeping it is?
There hasn't really been a reason for her to take it out yet.
Okay, that's fair.
Wait, you also have a black card too?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Yes.
I missed that detail because I also have one.
Yeah. Yeah, you both picked up those black metal cards off of the dead body.
Because I would say, if anything, maybe she's even forgotten about it. Like, it's in her pocket.
I mean,
she's already thinking about it. Like, she's just getting her bounty. Like, she probably just forgot about it with, like, this time that's passed by.
Yeah, and I mean, I only ask because I'm curious what Jax's thought process on that is, because it definitely was a unique thing, but it could have just been like, oh, another ID card. Let me just pocket it because it comes with the credits that I stole from him, too. You know?
Are we sure that not everyone in this world just has Visa black cards?
I don't. Well, there are definitely some forms of credit, but I don't think that this is a Visa black card.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bounty collector, or the, I guess the, I don't know what you would call them, the teller, kind of at
the cashier. Yeah, the cashier.
Yeah, they're kind of sitting behind one of those things. They, like, punch your card. They take your evidence for your bounty, and. Hand you a stack of credits for 1,700 credits. So you kind of pull them in. It's a nice little chunk. And then you can do what you want. You want to go take a shower? You want to go, like, explore the building? I don't know. You can decide that while I jump back over to Rune and see what Rune's gonna do.
Say this real quick. My girl is going to treat herself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so she's gonna get a nice hotel room.
Okay.
And go chill there for a little bit. Get some good food and a good nice rest in a feather space bed.
Cool. Yeah. So I mean, you can take that right in right nearby. The Torok is actually a few, like, kind of downtown areas, so you can kind of take your pick there and stay for the night. Okay, Rune, what are we doing? You had just kind of bounced out of that housing, the condo building there. You kind of exited as all the guards were rushing into the building. You kind of were running around the side and skirting the fence and into the night. So where are you headed?
Rune is actually first going to go to her apartment, which I assume is on level 5, where Torok building is, right?
Yeah, so that's really up to you. You can... live where, because you are a member of the Bounty Hunters Guild and you have kind of ascended to that level, you can kind of choose where you want to live. Obviously, you would prefer, I think most people would prefer to live in a higher level, but that's up to you.
So what's level 3? I want cheap, but not so cheap that I'm...
That would be like level 3, yeah. Level 3 would be like, I think like kind of like an impoverished neighborhood in a city.
I'm taking level 3 as my place.
Okay. Then. Yeah. That's kind of the entire level is just kind of like dilapidated homes, like small businesses, but like they're successful and they have some means, but it's not really like there's nothing flashy at all about it. And level 3 yeah. does share like an share a lift with level 4, so people from both can kind of travel between. And if we were talking about it in terms of the city, I would say like level 4 would be like Fishtown and level 3 would be like Kensington. You know, you like kind of travel between them and they're close together and they kind of migrate together, but like they're definitely distinct.
Okay, well, I'm deciding that I live in level 3 because Rune is actually trying to save up money here. Part of it being her sort of semi-ongoing mission to figure out what happened to Padre, her surrogate father, essentially. So I'm going back there. I'm dropping off. I shouldn't say I'm dropping off. You know what? I'm going to keep everything I have because I don't know if that really matters. But I am going to go there to... that's where I'm going to do my kind of replenishment, food, shower sorts of life stuff.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go head up to the Turok building on level 5.
Okay. All right, cool. So you're going to drop all your stuff off at your house. So Diamond Center is... on level 3 as well, but it's really close to the lift. It's kind of like somewhat connected to level 4, so you're actually not too far from, like, you're only about maybe an hour from where you would live on the same level already, so you can kind of do that trip pretty quickly. And Simon's house was only, his little housing condo complex or whatever, was only about 20 minutes from Diamond Center, so you can kind of make this whole trip pretty fast. You can make it back to your house, drop off whatever you want, and then head back to the central city lift within an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then the ride up to level 5 from level 3 is, I think, probably about an hour, and then another hour and a half to get to the Turok.
Okay. And
I think that that's going to probably put you around 5 in the morning, maybe 4 in the morning at this point. Unless you want to, like, take a break at home and just kind of sleep.
Yeah, I think I'll take a break at home. I just kind of want to describe that my apartment is sort of a very utilitarian, not aesthetically pleasing apartment. It's pure white walls. Okay. There's a ton of garbage everywhere.
Is there, like, laugh breaking through the plaster?
There's Chinese, there's Chinese like takeout boxes, you know, it's kind of like a scummy place, but then there's like a lot of high tech equipment everywhere too.
Yeah.
You know, the classic cyberpunk kind of, sort of thing. I mean, this is partly because Rune doesn't really have a lot of time to clean house when she's a bounty hunter.
Also
like she has other priorities. So it's, like, this is just purely a place to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's in an old, a pretty old, like, kind of row style apartment. I should say brownstone, actually.
Okay.
Third floor, kind of a ratty brownstone. The landlord lives two, you know, floors below her. And her neighbors are, you know, she can hear them through the walls, and they're engaging in sex with their sex robot. which sounds like...
you spent a lot of time thinking about this, didn't you?
No, I'm coming up with this right now.
What's the sex robot's name, Luke? Tell me right now.
It just sounds a lot like the MacBook when you type in and...
Oh, God.
So that's what it'll be. And she's really annoyed at that, and that's kind of just a vague outline of where she lives.
Okay. Yeah, so Rune can grab a couple hours of sleep and then head back. You can sleep the whole night if you want. It's up to you, really.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to be about a 3-hour trip back to the, or maybe a 4-hour trip back to the Turok to collect your bounty. But...
Okay.
So let's say you reach the Turok at like noon the next day.
Great.
And you kind of have the same thing happen. You kind of stroll in, walk up to the teller behind the counter, the cashier, and you hand them the punch card, and they punch your card. They give you a stack of credits for 1900 credits, and then that's up to you if you want. What I don't know, what else did you get? I guess you got his ID, right?
I got the black pass card. I think I looked at ID stuff. I don't.
You would have taken something from him to prove that you killed him. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we just retcon and say
one thumb.
Yeah, one of his thumbs, and they like press it on their little thing. No. Let's just say you took his ID out of his wallet and like you hand it over to them.
Yeah, I did a selfie with his dead body.
Okay. So what are you doing now with your money?
How much money did I get?
So you got 1,900 credits, and we can just kind of say that's your what you got now from those two bounties is your starting money. Whatever you got from like rolling up your character is just like nil. Like we'll just call it nil because I don't want you to have any other money.
So I only have 1900 then? We're kind of resetting.
Yeah, just kind of start at zero. So Jax is at 1700. I'm sorry, 2700, Jax. Because there's a whole gang. I don't know why I said 1700.
I was about to say, yeah. I was like, this is some bullshit here. I would like to speak to the manager.
This female pay is like less than the male pay in the role-playing game, and I don't get right. this. No, 2,700, Jax. I'm sorry. That's my bad. Because you did kill 14 people, so I think that's worthy of some money. Definitely enough to treat yourself. So, yeah, Rune has...
And I grabbed my own bag of drugs.
Yeah, you got yourself a little dust to go up on the side. So Rune has 1,900 credits now. And that's not... let's say converting it into American currency, 1,900 credits would probably be about $500.
Wow.
So like 1,000 credits would be $250. Let's easy round that.
What about before taxes?
Yeah, am I a subcontract or a W-2 employee?
I think it's probably going to have to be a 1099, unfortunately. Yeah. So you're going to be paying a large chunk come April.
Yeah, I got to take my 30% out.
Yeah. You got $500 or just kind of sitting in your pocket at this point. Now, I don't know what your rent looks like in that area, but...
Well, I'm in level 3.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's not too much, but...
Yeah. So what is there a Torak that I can do with my money? I guess weapons, they supply all this?
You can just, like, go in and ask for the guy who is, like, good with, like, modifying weapons, and they'll give you his information, and you can contact him, and he, like, is exclusively a person who only works for people in the Torak. And he's not necessarily in the building, but... Now, the Torak has hundreds of employees that work in the building that are not bounty hunters. They are like bounty collectors. They do like all the like filings and like collection of like bounties from people that want to pay for bounties to go out. They have to like deal with all that shit. So that's kind of like why the building is so big. They have, you know, because there's hundreds of millions of people that live in the city. So
right,
more people than are in the United States live in a city the size of Pennsylvania. So that's where we're at. So yeah, there, you can kind of like tell me what you're looking for, and I can kind of give you direction on it.
Okay. I maybe want another pistol.
Okay.
At this point, I guess I need to look at all the weapons, huh?
While you play around with that, let me jump back over to Jax. And Jax, tell me what you're doing now. You're pampering yourself in a nice hotel. What's the name of the hotel? Do you know?
The Velvet Crescent.
The Velvet Crescent. Sounds kind of nice.
Yeah. Just want like a nice place to sleep. Good meal. And if anything, I was going to say, with Jax's history of growing up on the streets and getting into like hot wiring cars and stuff, in that whole background, I would assume that she probably might have still some connections with like Dreets level weaponry or like baby friends that are just like tinkers or whatever. And
yeah, absolutely, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking for? Like, do you want to meet up with a weapons dealer or like a hacker or
a scrapper? I would say maybe it would be cool to see if anything, maybe you could see to just see a friend who's like into like new like neural implants or something, like just see what's on the market or ways to like improve her like dexterity or strength or something like that.
Okay,
that'd be cool.
Okay, yeah.
Then she's going to go out to a nice dinner.
Yeah, sure. All right. yeah. I would say that you aren't necessarily friends with this person, but you know their name kind of from people you know talking about them. Mm-hmm. Their name is Locaris Pylux. It's a dwarf man, kind of like a low-key hacker type who also dabbles in cybernetic implants, off-the-books kind of thing. Pretty far down in level 3, like on the outskirts of the city. So it's going to be a little bit of a trip for you to make it out there. Like, a full day. But you have more than enough time to do that before or after you're pampering yourself. If you want to make this happen, like... We're not on any kind of time constraints here at this point. It's just kind of, you're free. You're free from your contract. You got a buttload of money in your pocket. So,
like, if I do my underground contacts, could I use my drugs to like buy stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you could sell them for sure. There's no reason why.
I mean, as long as it's not like I'm not selling bad crank back onto the market.
Well, you absolutely would be putting bad crank back into the market, but I think the market has already been flooded with bad crank, so you might feel like less guilty about it.
Okay. All right. Okay, if anything, I'm just going to go stay. Well, you said it's in the morning, right?
Yeah, I think you got to the hotel around noon at this point because you kind of cashed everything.
All right. She's just going to pass out in the bed, sleep, and then go to like the hotel restaurant.
Okay.
Sure. After that, yeah.
All right, tell me, like, what is Jax like to eat when she goes out to eat with her big payouts?
Well, she buys real meat. That's a big deal. Not any type of like homegrown or fake fungus, whatever tofu they do on the planet side. Like actual real beef.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe some microgreens, that's a big deal, sure. With the scarcity. And a very small glass of scotch that kind of tastes a little bit like diesel fuel, but just a little bit.
I like Jax. okay, yeah, so the meat in Aralis is actually pretty rare. Because there is not much, as far as domesticated animal life goes, it's pretty limited. But because people are so wealthy and in the upper tiers and they love keeping that wealth and living in that wealth, they have figured out ways to kind of like, revitalize animals and like keep them alive longer while still kind of harvesting them. In like a really weird way, and at this point, I know you're like, "Oh no, now I don't want a steak." But it's normal. It's like normal life. This for the wealthy.
I'll just say it's cellular like regeneration.
Yeah, basically, like they figured out a way to kind of keep the animals alive while still being able to butcher them. But for the most part, it's not going to be cuts like you find in our current world. It's going to be like they're going to harvest the fatty parts of the meat and kind of synthetically create like nice cuts of beef from these cattle, or like big chunks of pork chops with like fake bones in them. You're never going to get an actual steak with a T-bone.
Exactly. Like, I would say, like, the closest thing she can... Because, like, it's... I don't want to... Like, obviously, she didn't make millions of dollars or something like that. She's not on that. But it's, like, she got, like, the best, like, tofu steak.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, maybe has, like, bits and piece of, like, beef DNA.
Yeah. No, it'll actually... It'll definitely be real meat, but it's going to be...
Okay.
It's going to be long removed from just a simple cow, you know what I mean?
So, yes, it's not fresh.
Yeah, not at all. Okay, yeah, so Jax is enjoying her steak and chilling in a nice gilded, like, hotel lobby restaurant. A little smoky, peaty glass of scotch. And Rune is dirty and disgusting.
So hold on, I gotta
and get messy my... apparently.
I gotta get my shit though.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, what are we doing?
Well, you're not kidding because it's real.
Yeah, no.
I'm buying some. While I'm at the place, I'm using my money and getting some throwing knives.
Okay, so they're gonna give you the contact info, and there's a guy that owns like a legitimate weapons shop. Just down the street.
Great.
And for Torok people, it's going to be like, he's going to give you a significant discount.
Okay. Well, on the way there to celebrate, I'm looking for a froyo to get.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, I want to get the knives first. So I'll pick up the knives. How much are the knives?
I mean, 10 credits for 5. Whatever, you know, nothing. Nothing much.
Jump change.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, I'm entering this.
What? How big are you talking? Are you talking about like small little ones? You could fit like 4 in your hand at a time.
Yeah. I'm looking for something small,
big kukri or something. Okay. I got you.
Just small and quiet that I can hold and take out of my like wrist pocket things.
All right. Yeah. I'll say so. Like 10 credits for, say 10 credits for 10, a credit a piece, because they're small enough, you know, easily manufacturable. Okay.
So 6 yards, I guess, for the short ones, have 10. And you said 10 credits. Cool. I'm like updating my chart.
Okay.
Live.
Yeah, cool. When we do combat with missiles like that, like knives and arrows, I'm gonna let you guys recover based on a roll. So like if you shoot like 6 arrows, I'm going to have you roll d6, and if you get 4 to 6, you're going to recover 70% of your missiles that you used. If you roll a 6, you'll just recover everything. If you roll less than 4, you'll recover nothing. So it's
a roll on top of the normal 3d6?
It would be like after combat. You're like, okay, yeah, I shot like 6 arrows, let me see if I can recover all of them, or if some of them broke, or like... my knives like bounced into a fucking vent in the floor or something like that, you know, like that kind of thing.
Sure. Okay. And I get my knives and I'm looking for Froyo. All
right. Yeah. Let's say there's kind of like a food, it's not going to be like a food court, but it's definitely going to be like a food court. Just think on like a much larger scale, like the size of Times Square. But, mostly food.
Right.
You kind of head to this, like, downtown region of, like this specific section of level 5. And there's a huge amount of, like, food areas, buildings, just restaurants on top of restaurants on top of restaurants, and, like, vending carts and trucks all over the place and stuff. I think it would be pretty easy to find yourself a nice little Froyo spot. Do you have, like, a favorite one?
Yeah, my Froyo shop is, in that large place. It's kind of sort of, stuck between several, huts, basically. It's one of the huts of things. Okay. It's pretty low key. It's next to like a noodle hut. And like,
oh yeah, Rune loves the noodle huts.
Oh man, I love noodle
because
huts.
Of Hadra.
Yeah, and it's also right next to like a kind of like a fried fish and chips kind of shop.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't really know its name at the moment.
That's fine. I mean, it's whatever. You don't have to come up with something. I just am curious if you're thinking about it.
It has one of the pluses is that it has fortified ice cream or yogurt, so I can get my vitamins. She eats like shit, by the way.
Oh, I believe it.
It's just like,
I mean, there's just like countless Chinese food containers littering the walls of her apartment.
Yeah,
she's building up like a second wall with them.
Yeah, it's a little like shit, which might come back to haunt her eventually.
I'm gonna make you roll a cholesterol check later in the game.
too real to life. Actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so she gets one that's fortified because she somehow thinks that's gonna be better.
Okay,
it's a good, just straightforward vanilla. Okay. They forgot to give her a spoon, so she actually uses one of her throwing knives as a spoon.
Okay.
And tries not to cut her tongue.
Okay, cool. I like that. When you said fortified yogurt, I immediately thought you were talking about like Mad Dog fortified. Like,
yeah.
But no, we're not talking about alcohol. Okay, cool. That's freaking awesome. All right. So it's like probably around, and this is on the same day, both of you. You're kind of, your whole, all the stuff you've been doing has been at different times, but you're on the same day when these things are happening now, and it's probably around 5 o'clock at this point. I think Jax is probably kind of coming down from her little, like, enjoyable dinner high, and Rune is just sitting on a park bench somewhere with an empty Froyo cup. And you get a message on whatever device you use to communicate with the Torok from Carpathia Yulis, who's demanding that everyone return to anyone who's inactive, which means not currently on a hunt, return to the Torok immediately for a meeting, because there's something urgent that has come up. And this has never happened before. It's not something you would ever have thought would happen, because it's very strange that this would happen. So, no more details than that. Carpathia Yulis is the bounty collector. She's like the number one person at the Torok. She employs everyone, and the only thing she really does is when there is a contract that's particularly interesting, or one for a particularly interesting client, she will like review it and see if she wants to be personally involved. But for the most part, she just kind of is like the overseer of the entire guild. And receiving a message from her has never happened. So that's where we're at.
All right. The alert goes off on Jax's Space Apple watch.
Space Apple watch.
So she'll jump on her space chopper and head over.
Okay, cool. So Jax, you're not very far. I mean, you're both actually relatively close at this point in time. So yeah, Jax hops on her bike.
And Rune gets it on her. Basically her, yeah, her arm pad that she uses for like the drone and other things too.
Okay. Yeah, so when you guys arrive, you get there real quick because you're both within 30 minutes or less of this, of the Torok's headquarters. And you get there and there is like probably 100 or so other bounty hunters kind of all arriving at the same time. And they all kind of
them.
Yeah. Jax just kind of looks over and sees like one or two other bounty hunters that are just remotely as tall as her, and they kind of just like salute each other. just yeah, we're on the same page here. Yeah, so you guys kind of like get into the mob as you kind of file into the Torok building, and as you enter, you all kind of like congregate around like the main steps that go up to the second floor, and Carpathia comes out. And once everyone settles, she
starts talking about recent bounties that have gone out and asking if anyone has found these black cards. And she holds one up and she says, I don't know where else these came from or where these came from, but one of our bounty hunters came back and returned it as part of his bounty, like identification thing. And I need to know where these are, if there are any more. And I need to know now.
Wow.
And you have... Now you got, like I said, there's probably 100 or so, maybe a few, maybe 200 bounty hunters in here. And you've got... There's two bounty hunters in the front. And one of them steps forward. He's actually bleeding. It looks like he had just gotten back from a hunt. And he holds up a card. And he says, like, I have one. And he hands it to one of the tellers behind the desk. And then the other bounty hunter, who was kind of standing next to him, also has one and walks up and hands it to the teller.
Okay. I'll raise mine.
Yeah, okay. So, Rune, kind of, you're kind of in the middle of the crowd. You kind of raise yours up and kind of, like, push your way forward and hand it to the teller, and the teller says thank you and gives you, like, 100 credits as, like, a bonus for it. None? Okay. Nobody else? All right. You're not required to, by the way. We're just talking about it. So, Carpathia says, if anyone else finds these, I need them immediately. These are urgent. And she dismisses the crowd. And then immediately goes back into her office. And you see the teller grab, like, this little stack of metal cards and kind of carry them up the steps back and to hand them to her.
I would like to look around and see if there's maybe, like, a dark corner or, like, a hallway I can kind of duck into, or maybe, like, an empty broom closet.
There's all of those things, so yeah, just take your pick.
Broom closet.
And there's plenty of people, there's plenty of people there where you can easily just kind of, like, you can duck down.
A really tall person, like. Yeah.
No, you can, like, kind of duck down to their level and then just kind of sneak by. Okay, yeah, yes. duck into a broom closet.
Yeah, I want to look at this card thing. Go whip it out.
Okay. So, broom closet's kind of dark, but there's enough light. It's just very similar to what you were looking at before. It's the size of a credit card. It's solid metal, black titanium. It's about maybe an eighth of an inch thick, and it has three holes just drilled through the bottom left corner. And there's nothing else that you can see on it. No markings, no etching, nothing. There's not a mag stripe or anything like that. It's just what you can see is what you can see.
Can I say
I
that
I... any kind of, like, diagnostic thing over it?
Sure.
Or, like, do I... Because I got to, like, I have, like... I imagine, like, everyone kind of has, like, some kind of, like, space iPad kind of... Or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like...
Let's go with,
It's like... You would have, like, what is equivalent to, like, what we have now as phones. Of, like, whatever you're, like, you look up your information, you get your messages, like, or maybe I can use my Space Apple Watch. And
yeah.
Just, like.
Why don't you go ahead and roll a perception.
Perception
searching test on this. And while you're doing that, actually, I'll let you finish.
Oh! Dope! Yes, I got a stunt. Does that matter? No, it doesn't.
The stunt doesn't matter on this one. What'd you roll?
Sorry. So I got 6, 7, 8, 9.
9? Okay. And that's not going to give you anything. You're looking at this, like, really closely. Like, literally, like, with the light that you have in there, you just, there's nothing. It's just, and you know now that there's something. There has to be something.
It is completely unremarkable.
It's
from the outside.
Well, okay. I'm not going to say it's unremarkable because you definitely have never seen a card like this in your life, and it feels heavy. And yeah, go ahead, Rune.
I see a tall woman going to the room closet.
Why don't you make a fucking perception check for that one? Do a perception.
Trying to get us together, you know.
Do a perception. Just a general perception check. No bonuses unless you. Well, you have a bonus just in general for it. So just
3d6, though, right? Yeah. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10? Yeah, you're not going to see her. She, even her being so tall, I mean, she was kind of like nearby that room, and you were in the middle of a crowd of hundreds of people, so, yeah, she just kind of like slinks into the sun and falls into the room.
No, it's like the Homer Simpson into the bushes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you now know that there's something very important about this card, and you're looking at
it. I want to keep it.
And you just cannot figure out why. And there's you know, there's no reason for you to otherwise think
I'm
so,
not,
you know?
Keep it. I want to see maybe if I can show that guy that I know who's into the neural uplinks or whatever. Maybe maybe my friends might know what this is.
Cool. Okay.
Then I'm going to have to kill them, though. But we'll see.
Okay. Rune, let's jump over to you while Jax is... Let's say Jax is now going to kind of drift out of the Turok and make your way down to
She's going to put it back in her pocket. She's gonna, if anything, like, she's going to... I'm imagining she's wearing some kind of, like, bit of a body armor kind of thing, like, lift it out and just put it, like, right above her.
Close to her heart.
Okay, close to her heart. It's a very important piece of equipment now.
My heart?
Yeah, yeah, your heart. Okay, so you're going to make your way to Locaris Pilux, right, down on level 2. And while you do that, Rune, what are you doing? You're kind of like in the crowd. Everybody's kind of dispersing. You've just given up your card.
I got my sweet $100. It's like, sweet. I can pay my rent. I can save more money.
Okay. More takeout.
I don't know if I'm overthinking this. You know, I guess I think, well, it's just the business of Turok and, like, all this corpo stuff that I don't really care about, but I just have to be here to do this stuff because I'm on my specific mission.
I don't I don't think that there's a person in the room that isn't like, what the fuck are these cards? You know, I think everyone, because of how this never would have happened, this never happens.
Sure.
Carpathia never messages people. They never have a grand meeting where everyone has to come in. So I think every single person in the room is like, what, do you have a card? Like, what, like, are you hiding? Like, are, like, I want one. Like, where, how do I get one? Well, you know, like, these people are, everyone's curious.
What was that about?
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know how much I care.
Okay, no, that's fair. I'm just, I'm just giving you the vibe, the general vibe of what people would be thinking.
It's not that my curiosity isn't piqued, but I think I'm so in my head about my own personal thing that I'm not seeing really the biggest deal of this. I mean, I'd love to know what the cards are about, but it's like, okay, I just need to do another job and go back to my drawing board at my apartment and try to figure out all of the stuff about Hadre.
No, that makes that makes perfect sense. And that's actually kind of what I thought you were thinking. So what you have now is you have this clue that you have, it's been probably 4 or maybe 5 years since Hadra was killed, and you have the first clue that you've been able to find. And it isn't much at all, but it is the first thing that you've been able to find that's linked to who killed this man. So that's kind of like, that's kind of where I was thinking that your head was going to be at.
Right.
So what are you going to do now? You're kind of like, this card's interesting, but I'm going to bounce anyway because, like, fuck these people.
Yeah, because it was in the... My clue was in the ledger book, right?
Yeah.
It's 5. What was it again?
It was a nondescript magical rune. Just kind of like...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a... These magical runes are for thousands of different uses throughout time. People have created these runes for different things, and they embed them in weapons, or they put them in their vehicles, or like they attach them to their saddles on their horses, or they wear them on their cloaks, like whatever. It's any, they can be used for anything. And so, but there's no description at all, not even like what the rune looked like. It just was nondescript magical rune, P5, sold whatever the date was, three years ago, I think it said it was.
Did they say to who? I forgot.
No, there was no, there's no seller, or there's no buyer enlisted, and that was for Simon's own protection. For his buyers, he was okay. Preventing writing all that down.
So, yeah, I'm going to... Yeah, so he was on the black market. So I might go to P5 was a number of category, right? Categorizing it as in terms of its sale.
Yeah.
So that would only be something that he would have.
Yeah, pretty likely, unless there was another person involved in his sales or other people on the black market who also bought. Or in those sales, you know.
It's not a lot to go off of at the moment. I am intrigued by the clue, though. So yeah. I think I'm going to go to maybe a connection in the black market to ask more about runes.
Okay.
You know, and kind of maybe pursue some of that questioning, at least just to learn more about them or something. You know, it's all I can do really right now, outside of maybe taking on another hunt for the money and everything. But I think for the moment, I'm pretty high off my, like, got my money and stuff, so I'm going to do this little investigation.
Okay, cool. So, you know a contact on level 2 also. His name's Demetrius Hook. He's a human male, and he runs a small, like, oddity shop. And you know from your time on, like, that circuit, kind of running, like, back alley operations and, like, random here and there jobs, before you were apprenticed into the Torok, you know that he has a pretty good knowledge of, like, artifacts in general. And you had initially kind of, like, talked to him about this, like, the killing of Hadra, because you knew that he had these dealings, but you had nothing to go off of before. So you, now that you know that this is a magical rune labeled P5, you think maybe he may have some kind of, like, connection in his mind. So if you're going to go there, that's going to be a few hours, probably half a day, a trip to get to
level 2.
Yeah. And that's it's actually in a similar area, not maybe 2 hours from where Jax is going. So
need a ride, toots.
But you are both heading out at the same time, so maybe you'll actually run into each other.
War and Peace is an actual play RPG podcast. This campaign features Fantasy Age by Green Ronin Publishing. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.